A little 3x5 card. You can pick one up there and give us your information, and we'll be happy to send you further information about the school. We'd love for anyone that that would desire to do so to come out and visit the campus, visit the school, spend a couple days. You can come and plan a trip. If you're interested in going to see the Creation Museum, they've got an ark there now that they've built. And as much as it rains in that area, I'm kind of glad that it's there. But it's a little bit far from where we are. I mean, if there were to be a sudden big storm like that. But, you know, if you want to come out and visit the Creation Museum and the Ark and come by and see the school, it'd be a great opportunity. Drop in for some classes. We would love to have you. But we do thank you so much for allowing us to be here with you today. And we thank you for your many faithful years of support. For us as your missionaries, we count it a true privilege to be part of the ministry of this great church. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Book of Philippians, I think I need to turn this on, don't I? All right, we're in Philippians, chapter 4 this evening. This morning we looked at missions from the standpoint of taking the gospel to a sinner, taking the gospel to someone that's in darkness and needs to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. This evening I would like for us to continue to look at missions, but go a little bit farther from the standpoint of our responsibility as individuals, one-on-one, going and telling and just taking the gospel to those that are in need, and look further at missions from the standpoint of a formal missions program. Why do we, as local independent Baptist churches, why do we have missions programs? Why do we even have a missions conference like you'll be having beginning on Wednesday through next Sunday? Why do we do this? Why do we take missionaries on for support? Why do we send them monthly support and have a formal program where we actually partner as a church with men and women and families and send them out around the world? We know that we need to be witnesses, all of us, in our day-to-day life. But what about this thing we call missions? Why do we have this missions program? And I think here in Philippians chapter 4, among many other places in the Word of God, certainly, but here in Philippians chapter 4, we kind of see the basis of why we would have, as a local church, why we would have a missions program, and why we need to support missionaries, and why you, as an individual member, why you should be involved in such a great work, and just kind of lay the biblical foundation for this thing that we call missions. I'd like to start reading Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and as he's finishing this great letter, he says, beginning at verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Paul says here. Then notice verse 14. He says, "Notwithstanding." In other words, Paul is saying, yes, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I have learned how to live being abounding, having plenty. I've learned how to live being in need. And just live day to day trusting Christ. He said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." But, he says in verse 14, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." And that word "communicate" is not speaking simply about verbal communication. But if you study that word, and of course the clear context of this passage, Paul's talking about their communication in terms of giving a gift. You see, the church at Philippi had sent to Paul. Now, Paul is writing this letter. He's in prison. This is one of the prison epistles. Paul is in prison, and while he was there in prison, the church at Philippi had sent a gift to Paul. They had sent support to him to help him out there as he was in his missionary work, and at this particular point, he's in Rome, and he's in prison. And so by the hand of one of the church members, Epaphroditus, the church in Philippi had sent this gift to Paul. And Paul thanks them for it. He says, you know, I've learned that I can trust God, and God will take care of me regardless of whether I'm abounding and I have plenty or whether I'm in need. God can take care of me. But he says, concerning the gift that they sent, Paul said, well done. Can you imagine having the Apostle Paul stand before you this evening and tell you as a church, well done? Well done. What an honor that would be. This great apostle that would stand before us as a church and say, well done. But then to realize not only is this church being commanded by the apostle Paul, but Paul is writing as he's moved by the Holy Ghost. Paul is writing as God is actually speaking through him. And so what we have here, we have the church in Philippi commended, not simply by the Apostle Paul, but the church in Philippi is commended by none other than God himself. And it is written and recorded in God's Word throughout eternity. Paul tells this church, well done. Ye have well done. And he's talking about their giving and their assistance to him as their missionary, as the apostle. He says in verse 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me. There's that word again. He's talking about giving. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You bow with me in prayer. Father, we ask your blessing upon the ministry of your word this evening. We pray that our hearts would be open to it. We pray that the Holy Spirit would work within each one of us and illuminate our mind and our thoughts, our heart towards your word. And may we be challenged by it. May we be encouraged by it. May it prepare us for the continuing activities of this week, beginning on Wednesday and following through Sunday evening, as we prepare our hearts for the missions conference. May each individual here this evening consider what's being said and consider your word with an open heart and a desire to be involved personally in the missions outreach ministry of this great church. And may it be done all for your honor and your glory. May Christ be lifted up, we pray in his name. Amen. I'd like to take your focus this evening to three verses that I think answer this question. Why, excuse me, why does the church support missionaries? Why does the church support missionaries? Why did this church send a gift to the Apostle Paul? Why do we need to be involved? Why do we have this formal program? As I look at the verses 17, 18, and 19, I see three very, very definite reasons why we need to be involved in missions and why it's so important. Paul commends the church, and he says in verse 17, commending them for, as he mentions it in verse 16, even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. He says in verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, Paul was a man of God. He was an apostle called by God. And God had a very specific purpose and a very specific ministry for Paul. You can't help but read the book of Acts and then read through the epistles that Paul himself wrote. And you can't help but see the very clear leading hand of God upon his life. And you can't help but see the impact that his ministry had upon this world. At one point, one of the cities that Paul entered into with those that were fellow laborers with him, they made the statement, "Here comes those that are turning the world upside down." So clearly Paul had an impact and a ministry, a great ministry. And of course, all praise and glory goes to God. It was because of the Holy Spirit working through Paul. Paul was simply the vessel. But Paul was the vessel that God used in such a mighty way. And so when we look at Paul's ministry, what do we see? We see tens of churches. We don't know how many churches were started as a result of Paul's ministry. We have several that are mentioned here in the New Testament, several that he wrote letters to. But no doubt there were other churches that from the churches he started, other churches were started from those churches, and so on and so forth. And in fact, 2,000 years later, we still see the continuing result of the gospel and churches starting churches and taking place all over the world. So what I'm saying is this: Paul had fruit. Paul's ministry was a fruitful ministry. And you know, Paul is not writing because the point he's making is not that I desire fruit. Certainly Paul did desire fruit. And certainly Paul wanted fruit, and Paul was fruitful. He prayed, he talked to the Lord, he followed the Lord. But that's not the statement that Paul's simply making. Paul doesn't say, "But I desire fruit," period. But Paul says, "Look, you have well done in investing in my ministry. Not because I desire a gift." And it's important to understand that. That's why Paul takes the time. You see, as a missionary, when we come and visit our churches, or we write our churches, and we thank our churches for everything that our churches have done for us, for their support, for their gifts, and all of these things. You know, if you're not careful, it's easy to get cynical. It's easy to think, "Well, yeah, sure, you're thanking us because you're the one that's on the receiving end, right? You're the one that's getting something. And of course, you're going to be thankful. You're going to be grateful because you don't want the tap to be turned off, right?" Well, Paul wants to make it very clear. Before he praises the church and thanks them, he makes it very clear, "I'm not doing this because I'm desiring something more from you. I'm not building you up so you'll keep giving to me and material benefit me." Paul makes that very clear. He says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." You see, whether the church at Philippi had sent Paul a gift or not, God was still going to take care of Paul. God was still going to lead him, and he was going to provide for Paul's needs. Paul made that very clear. Now, we appreciate, as missionaries, we appreciate what our churches do for us. But I didn't go to Indonesia 30 years ago based on the conviction and the realization that my churches in America were going to take care of me for all the years that I was going to be on the mission field. I didn't go with that conviction. I appreciated what my churches did, and I realized that that's the venue that God works through. It's the local church. I realized that. But it's important to understand that I didn't go to Indonesia trusting local churches. I went to Indonesia trusting God. I went to Indonesia believing that God was going to take care of us, and the venue, the channel through which he would supply our needs would be through the local church. I believe that missions is a local church ministry. I believe missionaries are sent out by local churches, and local churches partner together. And so I believe in the biblical principle of the local church. But nevertheless, my faith is in God. My faith is in God. I expect God to take care. And we've been blessed. We have many churches that have been faithful to us. But ultimately, we trust God. And that's the point Paul's making. So Paul is not saying, "Look, you've done well because I benefited from it." But Paul says, "You have done well not because I desire a gift," but he said, "but I desire fruit that may abound." And certainly Paul had fruit, and certainly it did abound. But he says what? "To your account." to your account. In Matthew 28, Jesus gave First Baptist Church at Jerusalem, he gave that church and by application, every single church, he gave a mandate. The mandate is to go and teach all nations. In Mark, it's stated as go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now that mandate has been given to Faith Baptist Church here in Elizabeth City. You have that mandate. But not only do you have that mandate, I have that mandate, and the churches that I started in Indonesia have that mandate. Now, I'm a missionary. I have gone from Virginia all the way around the world, the uttermost part of the earth, it truly is, because it's exactly 12 hours separate from Virginia, from our time. So when you go to Indonesia, if you go farther, you're getting closer to home. So when we talk about going to the uttermost parts of the earth, we've truly been there. But now I've done that. But you know something? As a missionary going to Indonesia, Indonesia isn't all the world. Indonesia is just one place. It's just one country. And so many of you possibly have not been overseas, or you've been to a few countries, but you probably haven't been to all the world. And maybe you've never left Elizabeth City. I don't know. I've been to Indonesia. We've had the opportunity to visit other countries along the way, there and back. But I certainly haven't been to all the world. But the mandate is to go into all the world. Now, how's that possible? This is how. This is how. You see, we go into all the world by sending missionaries that represent us. Paul said, I desire that fruit may abound to your account. Most of the people in Philippi would never see Rome. Paul was writing from Rome. But by having a part in Paul's ministry, souls that Paul reached at Rome and that he had reached, because they were investing in him, there was fruit that abounded to the account of the church in Philippi. And that's how we fulfill the Great Commission. That's why we have missions programs. That's why we give a missions offering. And you know, even as missionaries, you think, well, missionaries go to another country. They're taken care of. They've done their part. But you know something? Going to Indonesia doesn't fulfill my obligation as a member of a local church to fulfill the Great Commission of going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. And that's why, as missionaries, we're also involved in missions. I mean, giving. And we have our churches, we teach our churches to have missions programs and missions conferences. We believe it's the biblical way. It's the only way that we can fulfill the Great Commission by taking representatives, families, and those that God has called, and having a part in sending them. And that's the point that Paul's making in verse 17. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You have all along the auditorium, you have flags of different countries. And these represent nations. A flag is a tremendous way to represent a people and a nationality. We know that political groups and boundaries, they change. But nevertheless, by having a flag, we have a symbol of different countries and different people. And below these flags, you have pictures, photographs of missionaries that you support as a local church. And so these missionaries have gone places that I have never stepped foot in. These missionaries have gone places that you have never stepped foot in. But the light and the message and the ministry and the gospel that you preach right here in Elizabeth City, that message and that ministry has now reached out and it encircles the world. And there is fruit that abounds to your account from all these different countries, and you will never know it until one day you're in glory and you see the results. See, that's what Paul's talking about here. This is why missions is so important. It's not because poor missionaries, they need your support so that they can live. Yes, missionaries live from your support, and yes, it's necessary, it's needful, but that's not why we give to missions. We give to missions so that we can invest and we can have fruit that abounds to our account. It's the only way we can fulfill the Great Commission as a local church to take the gospel into all the world. Not only do we give to missions because It's the only way we can fulfill the Great Commission. We also give to missions, and we have a part. We have a formal missions program. Notice verse 18. Paul says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." The reason we give to missions not only is because it's the only way that we can fulfill the Great Commission. Giving to missions and giving to missionaries, it proves our love. It proves our love for missionaries and for the work that God is doing through them. It proves our love. Paul says in verse 18, he says, "I have all and abound." Now, when someone says, "I have all and abound," what do you think of? I tell you what I think of. I think of someone that has a big house. They have fine automobiles. They may have a swimming pool, may have a tennis court, or they're a member of a country club. And I think of someone who's very wealthy. I mean, who wouldn't say, "I have all and abound"? It must be someone that's very wealthy. Paul is writing here, and he makes this statement, and where is he? He's in prison. He's in prison. Paul is not a wealthy man. Paul does not have the finer material things of this life. Paul is in a very desperate situation. Paul's in tough shape. He's writing from a prison. The last thing I would expect for someone who's in prison to write their letter is to say, "I have all and abound. Things are just great. Things are wonderful." What in the world would prompt Paul to make a statement like this? Well, as we continue reading the verse, we see why. He says, "I have all and abound. I'm full." I don't know if the prisons are like in Rome or like they are in Indonesia. When you go to jail and you're incarcerated, you better have family and friends that take care of you. You better have someone that comes and feeds you. Because you don't get much attention. You don't get taken care of very well in an Indonesian prison. Now, I've not experienced that personally, okay? I've not been in there myself. But I do know the situation. I've lived there long enough and even ministered to some that have had family that were incarcerated. And it's the family that takes care of the individual, and they have to bribe the guards, and they have to pay a lot of money, but they have to make sure that their loved one is being provided for with their food and what they need. Paul says, "I have all and abound." He says, "I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you." Now, when I read that, I get curious. I'd like to know what was sent. So what'd you get, Paul? What'd you get? Did you get a new iPhone? Did you get, did you get something really nice? I mean, what was it? What was the gift? Was it just, financial support? Was it, something that was made locally and brought over, something that Philippi was known for? It's interesting. Paul doesn't tell us at all what he received. We're not told because that's not what's important. It's not the material gift, whatever it was. It's not how much or how little. Paul is saying, I have all. I'm full. I abound. Why? Not because of the material substance that he actually received, but he's praising the church because here is a church that while he is incarcerated, while he's in very difficult circumstances, they haven't forgotten him. But in fact, they have gone so far to take an individual and to send that individual, provide for the journey, the cost of the journey, the needs of Epaphroditus, and send that individual and by his hand bring a gift to Paul. And it may not have been something that we would look at and think was very meaningful at all. It may not have been something that we would think was a big deal. Paul doesn't tell us what he received because that's not important. But what Paul received was the attention and the care and the love of a local church. And he was reminded of that while he was in very tough circumstances. And so he thanks the church and he says, "I have received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Why do we give to missions? Why do we have a missions program? Why do we support missionaries? It's the only way we can fulfill the Great Commission. There would be fruit that abounds to our account from all over the world. And it's the only way we can really show our love and our concern and our care. It's easy to talk about things. It's easy to say, I care. Someone has given the definition of love that love is giving of oneself to meet the needs of another. It's giving. Someone else has said that you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And we know John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, why do we have a missions program? Why is this so important, what we're doing this week? Because it's the only way that we can fulfill the Great Commission as a church and be represented around the world with the gospel. It's the only way that we can show our love for God's work and for the men and women that God has sent. And the third thing, verse 19, and I'll close with this. Paul gives this great verse, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There's a lot we could say about this verse. Paul shows us that the church in Philippi, that they had their own needs. They had needs. But in their need, they send someone, and they give and they sacrifice to care for the needs of a missionary and a beloved friend, an apostle. So it wasn't because they weren't a needy church. It wasn't because they didn't have things that they needed themselves. You see, if we wait till we don't have any needs, we'll never be involved. We'll never give. If we wait until we have everything, if we wait until we feel like that we can say, I'm full and have all, I have all and abound, I'm full. If we wait until we think we can make that statement, we'll never be involved in taking the gospel and helping the messengers take the message around the world. This was a church that they had their own needs, but in their need, they gave and they sent and they were involved. So we know that they were a needy church. But I like what Paul says here in verse 19. You see, we all feel the sense that when someone does something for us, we would like to reciprocate. I mean, that's sort of a universal feeling. The idea, I mean, if someone sends you gifts, someone in your family, they send you gifts and you didn't send them a gift for Christmas or something, you know, it kind of makes you feel awkward and feel like, oh, I need to remember to do that. Because if we receive something, we want to give as well. We want to reciprocate. But particularly in the Eastern world, in Asia, and remember that Paul's a Jew and this is an Eastern book that we're reading here. You see, it's very much customary that when someone gives something to you and does something for you, you're obligated to reciprocate. You're obligated to do something in return. Not because there's a written law or there's a code, but there's just that sense, that cultural obligation. When someone does something for you, then you reciprocate and you do something for them. Now here Paul has received this gift from the church in Philippi, and they've been such a blessing to him. What can Paul do in return? What can he give in return? Paul is there in prison. Paul's incarcerated. Paul's not at liberty to go shopping. And know that he doesn't have the resources. He can't send something back to the church that's bigger and better than something that they've already sent to him by the hands of Epaphroditus. He can't do that. But Paul does what he can do. And what he says is this: you've given to me in your need, and you have helped with my need. I'm here not by my own will and not by my own desire, but I'm here because I'm a servant of God. I'm here because this is the ministry that God has given me, and I'm not here doing my own work. I'm here doing God's work. I'm just God's representative. And so I can't do anything for you in return. But let me tell you this, my God can. My God can. The God that I serve, He'll pay my debt. The God that I serve will reciprocate as you have given to me. And we mentioned this in passing this morning in the Sunday school. We mentioned the statement that I think it was Dr. Don Sisk made the statement. I wrote it down years ago. He said, you take care of God's business and God will take care of your business. And this is an example of that. Paul cannot do anything from his own pocket, but Paul is there as a servant of God, and God will be no man's debtor. God will be no man's debtor. And as this church has taken and they have poured, shown their love, and they have given materially to help the Apostle Paul, there's a God in heaven. And that God in heaven knows. God knew what the church in Philippi had done. Obviously, God was in it. And Paul gives them that assurance. He says, I can't give you anything in return. But because you have given to take care of me, I want you to know, my God, He'll represent me in this transaction. My God will supply all your needs. As you have supplied mine, my God will supply all your needs. Now, if that were me and I had the choice, Paul said, now, Larry, you've helped me out. I appreciate that. Here's the choice. I can help you out in return, or my God can help you out in return. Which would you rather have? Well, I say, Paul, I appreciate you, but he's got a lot deeper pockets than you do. He's a lot more powerful than you are, and he knows a lot more than you are, and he's much more capable. If I have the choice between expecting a return from Paul or a return from God, I'll take God. I'll take God. You see, this is the greatest insurance that you can ever have. When you get involved in God's work and you give to help missionaries go, and when you, as a church, when you send out missionaries, then you have a God that promises He'll supply your needs. Now, if Paul said, you want me to supply your needs according to my riches, or you want God to supply your needs according to His riches, I'll take God's riches over Paul's. I'll take God's riches. Why do we give? Why are we involved? Because it's the only way we can fulfill the Great Commission. Have fruit that abounds to our count all around the world. It's the only way we can show our love, our genuine concern and care for God's work and the men and women that God sends out into that work. And it guarantees God's blessings upon His church, and by extension, the members in that church that are involved in giving so that missionaries can go. And that's the great thing about missions, and that's why as a missionary, I don't want to say, well, I'm a missionary, I'm the one that goes, so I don't need to be involved in sending. Not at all. As a missionary, I'm a member of a local church and I'm part of a missions program, and I have the same responsibility that every other member has to be involved in the missions program and having a part. And it's the most exciting thing that you can possibly be involved in. Not only does God take care of us as missionaries, but God takes care of us as His children, part of His work, and He's using us to supply the needs of others, and He supplies our needs. It's the exciting thing. That's why I'm so excited about what you're doing this week. Would you stand with me this evening? And before we go to the Lord in prayer, would you bow your head and close?